Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome players in to start workouts at some point, but Tom Brady already beat us to that punch.
Yeah, you ain't gonna let that go, huh?
No, I'm not gonna let that go.
You ain't gonna let that go, huh? At all. Okay.
So,
I respect it. I mean, you know, everybody has to have, you know, something that they have to hold on to, and I guess you're holding on to that whole Tom Brady, you know, getting ready for the season thing.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to see anybody else allowed to work out or just him. Apparently just him.
I'm pretty sure other people are working out, John. I'm pretty sure that they are. It's just televised and it's publicized that Tom Brady's doing it because of who he is. And, I mean, you know, he's the big story in offseason.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure that other people are doing it. I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah, Cam's working out. He's also posting a video, too. But, of course, it's a little bit different because Cam doesn't have a team, a free agent out there. You know, at this point, you know, I'm beginning to think that, you know, speaking of that, I got to think that if Cam really wants to be a starter, doesn't he have to, like, maybe wait until the season begins and see if a starter goes down? Because I don't think anybody's raising their hand right now to have – now, granted, they don't know how healthy he is, but I'm trying to think of a team right now that actually kind of is in that position where they need a Cam Newton.
That's the thing, John. He's probably going to have to wait. It's unfortunate for Cam that his health is a major concern. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about that. You hear a lot of people say that they think that's a bunch of BS as well. You know, you look at Andy Dalton, and, you know, he has a job, but Cam was hurt. Cam was hurt. We knew that, and you know, the reports were out there that he had to go have surgery again or whatever it was, you know, and they don't know the status of his health. So that's a real thing. That's a real thing. And I know some people are screaming conspiracy theory, but, you know, he was banged up a little bit. So they have to find out how healthy he is. Now, do I think that Cam can play at this level and be productive at this level? Of course I do. It's just that I think right now he has to get in front of teams. And they need to figure out, you know, how healthy he is or if they're willing to work with him. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, you look at guys like Todd Gurley. He was in a little bit of a different situation. But, yeah, to answer your question, I think Cam can play. I think he will get picked up by somebody.
Oh, I'm sure he will. I mean, you know, Cam wasn't ever going to go to the Cowboys because the Cowboys are not going to – because Cam wants a starting job. I mean, Andy Dalton went to the Cowboys because he was willing to be – air quotes a backup. I think, you know, Andy's thinking, you know, he can win the starting job. But I think Cam wants – Cam not going to go to – I don't think Cam's going to a team where he has to fight for the starting job. I think he wants to go to a team where he's going to be told up front that he's a starter.
Well, I mean, I think that's going to be tough, John, especially in the situation that he's in, you know, being a little banged up and you know, coming in and teams are going to have to see how healthy he is first. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think he could get a starting job again in the NFL? Yeah, I think he can. But I just think that those are the things that are going against him right now.
Well, he was tied potentially to – the L.A. Chargers, who, of course, decided to go with, you know, the younger player with Herbert in the draft and kind of reinvent themselves. And the Chargers have a lot of talent. The question is, can the Chargers, who had a very disappointing year last year, turn it around this season? And just looking at the teams, because, you know, we wrote it out here, the teams that finished last, Hugh, in their divisions last year, is there a team that is able to go from worst to first this year in their division? Let's just kind of go through these just a second. The AFC East, Dolphins have a chance to go from worst to first in a division that does not include Tom Brady anymore?
I don't think so this year. I don't think this is their year this year. I really don't.
Yeah, I think it's awfully tough with all the new moving parts here. I think for them to go worst
exactly
to first.
We're on the same page. Yeah, it's just too much. It's not enough time to get everybody on the same page. We haven't even had training camps. You know, we got all these new moving parts. Dolphins made out like fat rats in the draft, but you're not going to have any continuity. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that hurts you in this situation, is that you haven't had that time to work together.
You know, now does Tua explode on the scene and become, you know, a phenom as a rookie? That could happen.
Nope.
Could the Dolphins win the division at 9-7? Yeah, I guess that could happen too. I mean, but I'm kind of with you. I'm going to say no on that. Nope. AFC West, can the Chargers now in their new stadium with their new uniforms muster up a little bit of magic and go from a team that was 5-11 last year and supplant the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West?
Nope.
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 The Bengals now with Joe Burrow at quarterback. Can they make the big leap all the way up in the AFC North and take out the Baltimore Ravens?
Nope.
Okay. How about the Jaguars in the AFC South? I haven't seen one yet either. Jaguars in the AFC South, all the issues that they've had with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, you got, Ngakwe and Fournette. They both went off the team. They can't get rid of them. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be because players are calling out their own quarterbacks and saying that they're not no good. I mean, there's a team, actually, that Cam Newton could go to, in a way, is Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good call. Jacksonville Jaguars might be a team, but again, have to get him healthy. Have to see what he looks like healthy. This is the one that intrigues me. You look at their division, and you would think that there might be a chance. You know, you got Tennessee winning that division last year. There might be a chance, but to say that they're going to jump, make a leap, and be the number one in that division, that I think that'd be a little bit of a stretch. But I think the Jaguars will be intriguing this year.
Yeah, you're right. I can see that a little bit. It's more like, you know, the problem is that the three teams that are in front of them are all better than them, and you know, even Houston without certainly Indianapolis, certainly Tennessee. So I mean, yeah, okay, the Jaguars. That's another one of these things when you're looking at teams that are, you know, kind of the worst teams from last year to go to first is, can you win a division at 9-7, for example, or 10-6? And keeping in mind that 10-6, the difference between 10-6 and 6-10, is that if you're a .500 football team, it's do you win those two games that go down to the wire, or do you lose those two games? You know, does somebody make a field goal or you miss a field goal? I mean, the difference in the NFL between 10-6 and 6-10 sometimes, very slight.
Yeah, margin is real, real slim. No doubt.
Yeah. Over to the NFC here. So far we haven't seen anybody goes worst to first in the AFC so far. Let's try the NFC. All right, NFC East. The last place team was the Redskins.
Can the Redskins go to number one? I don't think so, but I think that they'll be a hell of a contending team. I do believe that. I think that, you know, anytime you think of the Redskins, they're a tough squad. You know, even, you know, that's one thing that I can remember about them, throw the record out the window. That's going to be a tough matchup. So I would say they have a shot, but I don't think to go to first. I think they're going to be a better team, but not to be the first in the division, though. I don't think
so.
Yeah,
well, Ron Rivera's got certainly, something to prove in Washington. It would require a lot of things to go right. One of the things that Washington has going right for it is that they're not the worst team in their own division, I don't think, at the moment. I think you can make an argument the Giants are probably worse. And the division doesn't have a superpower team necessarily. I think the Eagles and the Cowboys are both very good teams. But they're not world beaters.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree with that.
How much does Chase Young change everything on defense for them? Can they get consistent quarterback play? There are a lot of questions around the Redskins. But at this point, I don't see them necessarily leaping to first place. NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals.
Nope.
Now, that's a bit of an intriguing one, isn't it?
In the West, though, John?
Mm-hmm.
You got Seattle. You got San Fran. They're not leapfrogging neither one of those teams, in my opinion. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think they'll be pretty interesting, but no, they ain't about to.
Yeah, this is where I think the Arizona Cardinals are the most intriguing team to me. You know, how does it change in year two in the leap that Kyler Murray makes now with DeAndre Hopkins in a division that I think San Francisco kind of had I think it was a bit of an outlier year last year. I think San Francisco is more of a 9-7 team. I mean, they got a good defense, but I'm not all that high on San Francisco. I think the Rams are trending in the wrong direction, and Seattle's a team to beat out there. That's a division that could be won at 10-6, you know, and Arizona's got an interesting – I think they're an interesting team. Let's put it that way,
mm-hmm.
In an interesting division.
I think that Arizona would be a pretty decent team, but mm-hmm. To make that big leap, I can't see that.
NFC North, the Lions. But, you know, everybody says this about the Lions. Oh, this is going to be the year of the Lions. They've been saying that for the last 60 years. You've got the Packers, you've got the Vikings, you've got the Bears, all of whom are ahead of the Lions. But, you know, you do have Matt Stafford, and you do have, you know, a Detroit team that's, you know, everybody's got issues in the division, right? I mean, Green Bay has an issue in the fact that its quarterback, star quarterback, is we can't know yet how motivated he is, you know, on this team. Is he motivated to go out there and win a Super Bowl and stick a thumb in everybody's eye? Or is he going to kind of like, you know, go into protect mode if things are going kind of squirrely for him because he knows that the franchise is looking at somebody else?
I think the only thing that he can do in a situation like that, John, is just play football. You know, and let the chips fall where they may. I know that's like the old cliche answer, but that's the only thing you really can do. You can't worry about the guy behind you. You can't. You have to just go out there and you have to play. And if, you know, he's already came out and he's spoken about the fact that, you know, he knows that, you know, his time might be coming to an end in Green Bay. You know, you can't dwell on that. You just got to go out there and you got to play football.
Does Nick Foles make any difference in Chicago?
I think he does. I think he does. I think he gives him a chance. The one thing that I've heard about Nick Foles as a quarterback, and he does a great job of, he does a great job of getting others involved, and that's what they like about him. They like the fact that he distributes the ball pretty evenly amongst the receivers. He doesn't really have a play favors, and I'm talking about when he was in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He really didn't play favors. He just kind of threw the ball all around to whoever was open. So I think that, you know, being in Chicago, he's going to put those – receivers in position to be successful. So I think that's what they're going to like about him.
Yeah, so the Lions in the NFC North, any chance they can go worst to first?
Nope.
Okay, and then, of course, we know that the answer in the NFC South is no. The Carolina Panthers have no chance of going worst to first. There's been no team in the NFL that's had more of a changeover than the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, you're talking about new coach, new quarterback, new defensive linebacker, new linebacker patrolling the middle. Yeah, I think they have a lot of questions that they have to answer this year. I think they'll be an intriguing team, but to say that they're going to go to first, nope.
Yeah, I mean, they've made major changes on defense, on offense, on the line, in the linebacking core, quarterback, you know, everywhere but Christian McCaffrey, it seems, you know, with your new head coach, a rookie head coach at that coming from the colleges, with a rookie coordinator coming from the colleges in Joe Brady. So, you know, the Carolina Panthers, they're probably going to go, you know what is going to happen this year, Hugh, is that at some point they'll probably win, and hopefully not for the Falcons' sake, a couple of games that they're not supposed to win, in theory, just because you have Teddy Bridgewater and you have Christian McCaffrey and you do have some weapons on offense, and and we'll see, you know, what they can muster under Matt Rhule, and they'll probably get better as the season goes along. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Carolina's going to end up with the worst team in the NFL by any means, but I think that, you know, they're in a division where, you know, they're so outclassed. And I think Carolina fans sort of understand that this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. You're talking about three Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You're talking about potentially Hall of Fame. Well, two bona fide Hall of Fame quarterbacks and one Hall of Fame, you know, on the trail of being a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. So I don't see anybody goes worst to first. You know, I mean, but then again, there's one caveat to all of this, Hugh. And that caveat is this could be an unusual, strange – now, notwithstanding the fact that we don't know what happens with things like, you know, injuries or things of that nature, which always affect things. It's the NFL. But this season could have a different kind of feel to it because of what we're going through. So it's really uncharted waters. One of the reasons I asked Pete Prisco about – you know, what's going to happen to college football? Could we have kind of an uncharted water season where, you know, the big teams suddenly struggle for whatever reason because this is not we're not in a normal routine by any stretch of the imagination. And how that affects these races, I we can't know. And so maybe that, you know, somebody takes that and, you know, really struggles with it and other teams take it and they run with it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how kind of all this plays out and how late a jump they get.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to, you know, and I think that, and I'm factoring everything that I talk about, I'm factoring in the fact that, you know, you're talking about a fact that a lot of teams haven't had that time to work with each other, you know. I mean, and that's the biggest thing, that a lot of teams haven't had time to work with one another.
Right. More still ahead. There's somebody back in the NFL that is a surprise that he was allowed back in the NFL. We'll tell you who and why when we continue. Ahead on a Thursday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and, of course, worldwide at radio.com. On the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, some of the headlines of the NFL as we all kind of gear up and get ready for the return of football. Already happened in Tampa where they're already practicing ahead of everybody else. But for the rest of the NFL.
John, that's not really an organized practice. It's just that they're
got helmets on. They got shoulder pads. Okay.
This is not really an organized practice.
And by the way, didn't you love that? Yeah, that's not the first time Tom Brady's been working out in helmets and shoulder pads with his new teammates. You know, okay, all right. When coaching, you know, okay. The Cowboys have signed Alden Smith, and he's been now reinstated by the league office. Look, here's the thing. Everybody got demons here. We all do. And for Alden, his demon has been drugs and alcohol, and he has been his own worst enemy. I don't know how many times he was arrested before he was finally suspended. You know, sober and in shape, tremendous talent. The only question is, can he you know, manage to stay sober and stay straight?
Yeah, and I would even be concerned about his mental, John, because I think the last time that he got in trouble, he was at the airport, and he said something crazy at the airport. You know, so. You know, just make sure that he's on the right page. But this is not new. This is nothing new for the Dallas Cowboys. They've have a history of taking chances on guys like that. You know, I think back on Alonzo Spellman was one of the guys they took a chance on. And sometimes they work out for them and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, Greg Hardy. Randy Gregory.
Him too, yeah.
You know, Jerry Jones likes to roll the dice because he figures that, you know, one of these times that he's going to roll the dice on one of these guys, he's going to hit a home run. And so if it's low risk, and in this case, it's pretty low risk because that salary structure is going to be you want to talk about a prove it contract. They're going to be proven on and off the field for Alden Smith. So, yeah, I don't see, you know, there's nothing for the Cowboys to really lose in this deal. It's all upside to them.
Yeah.
And I just hope for his sake, you know, when he came out of Mizzou, one of those guys, you know, how many of those guys, Hugh, came out of Missouri that we all said, oh, my God, he's going to be the next big thing, and it didn't really materialize.
When he was with Justin Smith and San Fran, oh, they were beasting, like no question about that. And then it just kind of went all downhill for him. But, yeah, he could play. He could definitely play, and he was one of those guys that, you know, I remember a friend of mine, Bob, when he was there with the he's with the 49ers, and I just asked him all the time, I was like, man, that kid right there is special. And I remember him telling me he's a little different. He said he's a little different. And, you know, we found out how different he was as time went on. But, yeah, he was a little different.
Yeah, but he's a special player. And, again, very low risk for the Dallas Cowboys. And they're going to hit on one of these. And suddenly everybody's going to say, oh, look at what the Cowboys did. Well, you know, you keep going to that well. Eventually you're going to score. News is Seahawks have reportedly offered Hugh Douglas, Devontae Freeman, a one-year, $4 million deal.
It's not a bad payday for him. Basically, you know, a little bit less than what we gave Todd Gurley, but not a bad payday for him.
Yeah, right. Jets and Eagles also interested in Devontae, and we wish the best for Devontae. I hope that you can go out there. This would be a 1 year prove it deal to see if you can, you know. And in his case, it's really staying healthy more than anything else.
Yeah, and I think you know, in those offenses that we're talking about that he's being offered to, they have a plan. You know, guy can catch out the backfield, could be a great player out the backfield. So, yeah, they definitely have a plan for him.
You know, and sometimes, you know, guys will leave a team and fans will be bitter about, you know, him leaving and they don't want to really, you know, okay, you're gone, you're not part of our team anymore. But, Devontae strikes me as a guy that I think a lot of Falcons fans, you know, when he comes back, you know, let's say that he goes to Seattle. Well, guess who your opening game is against? Seattle. You know, a lot of Falcons fans are going to, you know, tip their cap to Devontae.
They appreciate his accomplishment, what he did for the organization. Yeah, he'll be that one of those guys, no question.
And you know, there are going to be those people out there that are going to, you know, he missed a block. Okay, yeah, he did. Yeah, and he did. He missed a block.
Yeah, of course.
Remember him for.
That's how it goes. Of course, somebody's not going to let you forget the pass. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Pete Prisco has ranked the NFL quarterbacks. Now, normally this is, okay, here we go into the offseason rankings, but I just wanted to bring this up only because I wanted to let you know that we all understand that nobody is expecting anything out of the Atlanta Falcons this year, except for maybe me, okay? So, I mean, nobody's – all the national pundits are like, you know, it's all about Breeze and Brady. So this is no different in that regard. But Prisco ranked the NFL quarterbacks, all 32 potential starters, into five tiers, and he put, you know, the franchise quarterbacks and the guys you could possibly win with on all this kind of stuff. Matt Ryan barely made the top 10. He was behind Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott. We're all ahead of him. Okay. You know, Matt, you want to talk about having to prove it on an annual basis. I guess he has to prove it when we're out there saying, yeah, no, Dak Prescott, better quarterback than Matt Ryan. Okay, if you say so.
Yeah. This is the thing, like, you know, you always hear, and this is my argument. First of all, I'm not a Matt Ryan cheerleader. I'm one of those people that, like, explain this to me. How is this? And what I mean by that, how can you sit here and say, and we've heard pundits say it, you know, people that played the game, other people, professional writers and everything, they always say Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, I've heard that on more than one occasion. But when you talk about Matt Ryan, you say that he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. But when you look at their numbers, Matt Ryan's numbers are better than he is. Matt Ryan in his career has accomplished more at this point in his career than Phillip Rivers. But Phillip Rivers is looked at as a Hall of Famer. That to me, somebody explain that to me like I'm a two-year-old. Because I need somebody to help me understand that. Because right now I do not understand that. How can you sit there and say in one breath that this guy's a Hall of Famer, and in another breath when you look at what Matt Ryan has accomplished that he's not? That's my only thing when I talk to people about this, and everybody say, oh, you know, why are you riding so hard for Matt Ryan? I'm not riding hard for anybody. I'm just trying to make sense of other folks' logic when they talk about this. Because to me, it doesn't make sense. You can say without hesitation, John Fricke, that Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. How many playoff games have Phillip Rivers won in his career?
How many Super Bowls have you been to?
No, that's what I'm saying, AFC Championship games. But he's a Hall of Famer. And when you look at Matt Ryan's numbers, his numbers are right there on par with his. So just somebody explain that to me logically. Don't get your feelings involved. Don't give me your feelings of how you feel about Matt Ryan or what he hasn't done or who job he took when he got here. Just logically tell me how is that possible.
Yeah, unfortunately for Matt Ryan, right now, at this point in his career, he's lumped into a group of these quarterbacks that are the great quarterbacks who didn't win a Super Bowl, right? And that's Fran Tarkenton, Dan Fouts, Dan Marino. I mean, these guys that were great quarterbacks but didn't get
famers.
A right? All of them are Hall of Famers. And Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer based on his everything that he's achieved in his career to this point. To me, Hugh, he's in Canton now. He doesn't have to – if his career stopped today, he'd be in Canton. But, you know, especially with a couple of three more years as he, you know, continues to go up in the numbers in terms of touchdowns and yards and completions and all those numbers that he's going to put up in his career. There's no denying that he is a and look, I understand that some people say, well, yeah, but you got to win the ring. Yeah, no, I mean, I get that, but, you know, not everybody wins a ring, and it's not, you know, your fault sometimes if you didn't win a ring because maybe you played on a team that didn't have any defense.
Did you just say not everybody wants a ring? I know you didn't say that.
No, not everybody wins a ring.
Oh, I was about to say, John, I got to check every now and then because, you know, every now and then you're getting your fandom a little bit. But, yeah, everybody wants a ring. Everybody wants one. Everybody wants that.
You know, I don't think, you know, your career, for example, isn't defined by what happened to you in the Super Bowl. I mean, you had a great career.
To
win.
But you know what, though? Honestly, I'll be the first to say it'd be looked at differently if we did win the Super Bowl. You know, you're looked at a little different if you're a Super Bowl champion. And that's just the hard truth about it, and especially so at the quarterback position, because that's the first thing that anybody jumps to when they talk about quarterbacks. Did he win a Super Bowl? Oh, well, you know, if he didn't win a Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. For the most part, in the era of Super Bowl champion quarterbacks.
Well, I'll use this year as an example. I mean, you start to look at the free agents we're talking about currently out there, Cam Newton, Jadeveon Clowney, and Joe Flacco. Does anybody want Joe Flacco? He won a Super Bowl. Does anybody want Joe Flacco? Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. I'm just saying, if that's the be-all, end-all, then Joe Flacco ought to be the guy you want, but nobody seems to want Joe Flacco. Why? Because, you know, I mean, sometimes you win a Super Bowl in spite of you, and sometimes you, you know, don't win a Super Bowl because other things happen. Again, you can't play, you know, if you're a baseball player, you can't pitch, Hugh. I mean, you don't, if you're a hitter, you can hit 600 home runs and never win anything because, you know what? You didn't win a ring. You know, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. arguably one of the greatest players of all time, but he didn't pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I don't write the rules. I just find it fascinating that for a lot of people that yeah. is the end all to be all. And like I said, nobody can explain to me why that is the case when it comes to Matt Ryan.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't understand the bitterness towards it. I mean, I don't think, and I think it has less to do with 28-3 than it does with you know, other things. I'm not really sure what it is. Honestly, I haven't quite figured it out either. I know this much: that when Matt Ryan is no longer the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, whoever replaces him better be damn good, because otherwise you're going to be going, man, can we get Ryan back?
Probably not. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately. There'll be some that'll still feel like they're doing better without him, because they're stuck in their truth. So that's what it's going to be for them.
If you're out driving around, I want you to think about this question. What is your bucket list of sporting events that every fan should attend? What is your bucket list? Oren's got a bucket list. We're going to see if it comes close to the rest of us. We'll do that next. What's your bucket list of sports events that you absolutely have to go to? On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com, streaming worldwide at radio.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is on your bucket list of sporting events that you've been to that everyone should attend? It's an interesting thought, because there are some sporting events that I've been to that everybody's like, oh, I got to go. And I've been to them, and I want to say, I don't know. I don't think you really want to go. It's not what it's cut out to be. A little overrated in my book. But I know that you would have a list of the events that you either have been to or want to go to, Hugh, right? I would imagine everybody does.
Yeah, it's a few. It's a few sporting events that I would definitely like to attend that I haven't attended yet. Yeah, I got a few.
I'm going to be interested to see what Abe guesses here, you know, because his list would be different than anybody else's. But I think this falls to you, Oren. Is that correct?
It does fall to me. So my qualifications for this are a little bit different. I haven't attended a lot of, I guess, bucket list type sporting events. So my list is the events that one should attend. Bucket list type events that you should attend. So.
Are they sporting events before we get started?
They
sporting
are
events, right?
All sporting events, sir.
Okay.
They are all sporting events. So I've got a list of six, and then I've got like 12 honorable mentions. So if you guess one on my list,
I'll
let you know.
Oh, it's pick 18 now. Okay, I didn't know what we expected
to pick
18.
No, not picking 18. Just hey, if there's an honorable mention, I'll give you credit for getting an honorable mention, but the real points come if you get the ones that are on my list. So
fine.
Have at it, guys.
Well, who gets it? You got to run the show here. You got to call on us.
John, you go first.
The Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby, John, is on the big list, yes. I do. I just did a charity event with the Shepherd Center here in Atlanta, and we did a big Derby Day event, and people would get dressed up in Derby attire. And just getting dressed up in Derby attire then was – that seemed like it was fun, and I'm all about wearing fancy hats and seeing people wearing fancy hats. And the idea of drinking mint juleps out of, like, silver little julep glasses, mint julep cans, or I think that's what they're called. I think they might have a special name. But, yeah, that's kind of cool to me. So the idea of going to seeing the Derby, I don't know if I want to be, like, up with the hoity-toity folks or – more down low with the...
Oh, no, you want to be down low with the lunch bucket heads where I am.
Yeah,
no,
I want to be down there with the,
yeah,
with the...
that's the party.
The degenerates and, yes, and the folks who, like, hey, if they get muddy, if it rains, they're there to just to party and have fun. So the Derby is on my list.
Okay.
Hugh Douglas, you started. You go next, bud.
I'm going to say, you said the Kentucky Derby. I'm going to say the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl absolutely is on my list. I'd like to see the Falcons in it one day. I'd love to see the Falcons in it one day at Mercedes-Benz. If those two things don't happen, I would still like to go and just to watch it, the sort of the grandness of it all, like everything associated. Everything just seems – it's so much larger there. And, like, the stakes are really, really ratcheted up. So even if you're going just as a casual fan, I feel like you find yourself being way more invested in that game as a common fan – with no teams that you like or no stakes in it and in it at all than you would be any other regular game or playoff game.
Yeah, that's true. I've been to five, Orrin. I could tell you, though.
Oh, John's been to five. Ooh,
yeah, yeah. Ooh. Well, yeah, well, but it's okay. I mean, that's what I do for a living. I mean, so I got to tell you, if you're not a fan of either team, though, the actual game itself, when you get into the game, is boring.
How so?
Well, because it's not like you have an atmosphere. You have 5,000 fans of one team and 5,000 fans of another team and 60,000 fans that are just there because they got no real rooting interest. So and the game is itself, and Hugh knows this, it's a different game because halftime is so long, the commercial breaks are so long, so the game just stops. I mean, it must be an impossible game to play because it has a different flow, and it's a hard game to watch in person because it just stops for so long.
Yes, it's a little different, but still, it's a great experience. And I'm talking about the experience. Like, the game is one thing, but the atmosphere for the Super Bowl is something different. You know, we had a chance to deal with some of that here in Atlanta, but it's just a different feel, man. It really is.
Oh, the week leading up is great. Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's something you should do once in your life. If it's your team, it's an entirely different story.
Yeah, and I think I would add into the whole week leading up because it's not just about the events, but the parties. I remember, you know, the week it was here, it was just parties all over the place. With Shaq rented out the entire Battery and threw that big party at the Battery. So right. Everything associated with it, too. Like, if I was able to not just go to the game, but be involved with everything that happened that week, I'd be exhausted come Sunday night, Monday morning, but it would be well worth it.
Probably dehydrated, too.
Definitely I would need an IV or 7. Yes.
Yeah.
Abe, it's on you, bud.
This one is something, you know, if you lived in Atlanta and you're 30 years or older, something you may have had a chance to experience. I would say on the bucket list of events is the Olympics, and for me specifically, Summer Olympics.
So on my honorable mention list is the opening games, the opening ceremony. So in a way, yeah, but I didn't want to put that on my list because I kind of look at the opening ceremonies sort of like as John looks at the Super Bowl. Like, after a while, when you get past the stuff that's associated they're doing with the city, it just seems like the country procession, which it's all great for them, like, that gets really, really long and old and boring after a while. And in the end, you just want to see, hey, what country am I from? I want to see the athletes representing my country. Like, that's cool, all the outfits, like, the traditional garb that they wear, that's all great. But yeah, that procession when the countries come in, that just takes forever.
Yep, it does. But you know, it's great honor. I'll go next here. I'm going to tell you that when it comes to boys trips, and I've always said this, when it comes to sports, that if you have no rooting interest in the teams, as long as you like the sport, the best boys trip that I've ever been on, the Derby is really great. I have that ranked number two. But to me, the best boys trip, if you've never been, is to go to the Final Four. The Final Four is just a gas of a weekend. I mean, anywhere you go, you talk about the parties, it's like the Super Bowl compacted. And then, you know, you have this Saturday, and then everybody's partying on Sunday, and you go into Monday night. I love and adore. I could go to the Final Four every single year.
So the Final Four is also on my honorable mention list, John Fricke. Love the idea of the Final Four, that whole weekend just dedicated to those four basketball teams. Everything sort of condensed, like a 64-team tournament just condensed down to four teams in the span of 3 days. That's an awesome thing to me, and I would love to go to that, but it did not make my top six.
I'm going to think outside the box here on this one.
All right.
And I'm going to say a hockey tournament, the Bean Pot in Boston.
So I have heard of the Bean Pot, but I have no idea what it is. And hockey to me, like, I like hockey, but I didn't put any – there are no hockey events on – well, yeah, there's no hockey events on either my top six or my honorable mention list. I'm sorry, Hugh.
Oh, well, that's fine. I think it was a good, you know, shot in the dark.
I appreciate that. Go, yeah, thinking outside the boxes. I'm an outside the box kind of guy.
Yeah, shot in the dark.
How about the Masters?
Sunday at the Masters. So this is one that I actually have attended. They used to have the hill that you would sit on and they would tee off over you and you had a view of like two other holes. I forgot which ones those were. But, yeah, it was 2010. A buddy's wife of mine had had passes, went Sunday, drank a ton of cheap beer. I don't like pimento cheese, but I had one of the chicken sandwiches, and then I had like four more of the chicken sandwiches and just had myself a day. Like, afterwards, I had to go to my car and take like a three-hour nap because, like I said, like Sunday at the Masters, it's a little exhausting, but it's a lot of fun. So, yes, that's on the list.
Georgia, Florida.
No. And
no, not in your list? What
not
up?
Not on my list. Not on my honorable mention. It's just, I mean, it seems fun, but I think Georgia, Florida is more about not the game, but just going down to Jacksonville.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah. Like, no. And then, that didn't make the list, John Fricky. I'm sorry.
All right, okay.
There is a college football game, but it's on my honorable mentions. I don't think that counts, though. Right. But go ahead.
Well, you're going you to
run
out
of time here. What you got here?
I'm going to say the Daytona 500.
Daytona, honorable mention. There is a race, though, in my top six. Abe?
Indy 5.
Indy 5, honorable mention, not the race in my top six.
Well,
I'll give you guys hints. There's a race, an international thing, a college sports thing. Those are the final three. So an international thing, a race thing, and a college sports thing.
Ooh.
A rivalry college sports thing.
That's not Georgia, Florida.
Not
Duke, North Carolina.
It's not – what's up?
Duke, North Carolina.
Duke, Carolina, but it has to be at Cameron. Got to go see it at Cameron. That's the pageantry, like the whole just – yeah, it has to be at Cameron. That's in the top six.
Okay. You know, one of the things you haven't experienced, Doran, that it should be in your top six and will be if you ever get a chance, and, you know, go to a major title fight in Vegas. Dude, it is intense.
Title fight is on my honorable mentions,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really intense.
Two more. You got a race and you got an international event.
Ooh, I think I got a guess.
All right.
Tour de France.
No, not bicycles. It's cars.
Oh, I was thinking Tour de France.
Abe.
How about the World Cup?
World Cup final. That's on my list. Yeah, and that's something I think, sort of like the Super Bowl, if you don't have a rooting interest, you can just go and have a ton of fun, and it's like the vibe there has to be, just from what it looks like on TV, has to be insane.
Yeah, and that would be so insane if we could get it here. I can't wait for that. All right, so a race.
International race.
Oh, then 24-hour Le Mans?
No, not the Le Mans.
The Gumball Rally.
Not the Gumball Rally.
Okay, we're just throwing things out. Throw things out, Abe. International race.
It can't be a. You said it was car, right?
Car.
So it takes.
Monaco Grand Prix.
Monaco Grand Prix. There you go.
The Grand Prix. Oh yeah,
John
Freaky. Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That just looks fancy as hell. It's like the Kentucky Derby like style, but it's like fast cars. I'm not even a big race fan, but I will go just to be a part of that because, man, that looks so cool. Like, and to be there, you got to have a ton of money. So I assume if
I
was there.
That's what I'm about to say. You got to be extra cheesy
to be
swank. In a place like that.
I'd be swank if I was there. There you go. That's my list, guys.
That list will be up on our Twitter.
Monaco, Derby, UNC, Duke, and Sunday at the Masters.
It's a good list.
Abe, you're going to put your list up, right? You know, it'll be,
yeah, it'll be a much better list.
Yeah, I'm going to – that list – oh, wow. Man,
shots
I don't know.
Fired.
That's a pretty strong list, I think.
Man,
my book.
Down. Yeah, that's. I thought it was a strong list.
I did too. I thought, you know, I mean, I'll have a couple different things, but I thought that was a pretty strong list here. Coming up in the next hour, Jason Longshore going to join us. We'll get the very latest on where we stand with United. Chad Millman from the Action Network will fill you in on what to bet on and where the action is falling right now, including how to bet the match between Brady and Manning and Tiger and Phil. And we'll do a little rapid fire. It's all ahead in a very busy 8 o'clock hour with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. And, of course, worldwide at radio.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.